Are you paying more money in interest than you need to on your credit cards? Refinance your debt with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. LightStream believes in rewarding consumers who have good credit with a great interest rate. They do this by having credit card consolidation loans from 5.49% APR with autopay and no fees. The application is 100% online, a simple and painless process, and you could have your funds as soon as today. Apply now and get an additional interest rate discount on top of LightStream's already low rates. The only way for listeners with good credit to get this special interest rate discount is to go to LightStream.com/cool. That's LightStream.com/cool. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount, available only when you select autopay prior to loan funding. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com for important information about limits on LightStream loans and same-day funding.
Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like the Dapper Don, giving a microphone, dress like a million bucks, diamond things in his cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only, Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Okay. I want to share something with you that I had to come to the realization one time. And even in the reinvention of myself right now, I've had to come to that. And I want to share it with you today. Give it to you. I want to tell you about something that a lot of people do in their life. And I want you to be aware of it. Here it is. Don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. I said, don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. The reason I'm saying this is because people have a tendency to, once they make a decision about something, or once they decide to go a certain path, they go against all everything. Anything anybody says, anything anybody might do, any other ruling they may come across, they shun advice. They don't listen to counsel. They just, I made the decision. I'm going to do it anyway. Don't get stuck on yourself. You could be wrong, you know. Now, here's a surefire way to tell if you're wrong. If you don't see any movement in the direction you've chosen, if you don't see anything going right in that decision, if you feel as though you're in a rut, if the wall you're climbing seems so insurmountable that you ain't even moving an inch, and every time you turn around, you keep getting knocked back down. Don't get stuck on yourself. You know, you could be wrong, you know. See, that's why it's important for people to always be open to the reinvention of yourself. You know, you cannot be afraid to reinvent yourself. In other words, you can't be afraid to change. Change is necessary when it comes to growth. There is no growth without change. You cannot grow and never change. I'm sorry, it's like from the time you were born, you are constantly growing, but in that growth, have you not noticed you have constantly changed? The more you know, listen to this. The more you know, the older you look. Sorry. Sorry. But there is no growth without change. And I have found this to be true and the case. The more you know, the older you look. Now, you can do drugs and kill both them theories. Because you can do drugs and not know nothing and look real old. So, you know, there's a way around it. But I'm talking about if you're spending your life trying to make something out yourself. There is no growth without change. You cannot be afraid to reinvent yourself. So don't get stuck on yourself because you could be wrong, you know. If you're heading in a direction and ain't nothing going right in your life, could it be the wrong direction? If you're climbing and you're making no headway, could it be the wrong direction? Could you have possibly made the wrong choice? Don't get stuck on yourself because you done made the wrong stuff. It's okay to forgive yourself. It's okay to let yourself off the hook. It's even smarter sometimes to admit that you were wrong. You ever met somebody ain't ever wrong? Have you ever met somebody you talk to, they ain't ever wrong about nothing, man. They just, it's they way or the highway. It's this is my way. I know people like that, stuck on them power trips and all like that. You know what I had to learn how to do? I had to learn how to let them go on them power trips. But listen to this, though. You're not taking me on that trip, though. You're going on that trip by yourself. I'm going in the right direction. I've decided to stop the way. Okay, listen to this person. This person. I decided to stop doing business the way I was doing business. I decided to stop to allow business being done around me the way business was being done around me. You know what? You know the best decision I made was to allow for God to have some say-so and to offer me his direction. I have found him to be a better driver than anyone else I know. I have found him to know more about the man he made than anybody else who's merely associating with me. I have found it to be a fact that my maker knows more about the vehicle he created than does anybody else. If your Chevy break, don't you take it to Chevy? You don't take your Ford when it break down to a Toyota dealership. They not gonna know everything that the Ford dealership would know about the vehicle. You know why? Because they're not the maker of it. So now, why you letting your life being led, controlled, and guided by somebody other than your maker? I'm just asking you to let's all take a common sense look at this. So if going to your maker is the best way, the best decision I made in my business was take over my brand myself and to allow the maker of this brand. See, without God, I'm none of this. I'm none of this. I want you to clearly understand I ain't none of this without him. I wish I could have the guts to reach back there and pat myself on the back for what I've accomplished in my life. I wish I had the guts. I wish the nerve of me, because I know for a fact that there is no way that I could have manufactured the life that I have. I could not even have thought of it. It's no way I could have told you that this was the route I was going to take and this is the outcome because of it. I had no idea, no clue. The one thing I had, though, was an unshakable faith in God. I had I just kept believing in him. I kept believing that he had something more for me. And then when I touched base with him and asked him to show me what it is, what he had for me, ta-da, the magic show began. Because you know what he did? He took all my natural abilities that he had given to me, this gift that he gave me, that he poured into me at birth, that same gift that he poured into you at birth. The moment you go to him and let him show you that gift, and then guess what? Once he takes what he naturally put in you and put his superpowers on top of that, then you have some supernatural things going on in your life. And you may not be feeling me. I'm cool with that. But I done had some supernatural things happen to me. Every day I wake up, some supernatural, the rewards of my life, the awards of my life, the accomplishments, the how I'm working, the how I manage it all that ain't nothing but God. That ain't nothing but God. You can't even explain this schedule to people. Sometimes when people ask me, Steve, how do you do it? I go, well, this is what I manage my time. Then at the end of when I get through, I say, hey, man, you know what I need to tell y'all for real? It's God. I don't really know. But I'm letting him manage me, so he handling it. He ain't going to put no more on me than I can bear. Listen to me, y'all. Don't be afraid to reinvent yourself. And remember this. Don't get stuck on yourself because you could be wrong, you know. You absolutely could be wrong. If you don't tie this to your gift, you will be struggling the rest of your life.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies, I want to have your attention, please. Fellas, do whatever. But if I have the ladies' attention, then I got to have yours because you always trying to get theirs. You understand how this works. Shirley Strawberry.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Carla Pharrell.
Morning, crew. What's up, Steve?
Well. The next two people I'm about to introduce are sad. They've been trying to come out of this funk for quite some time now. We're still working on it. I'll explain it to you in a minute. What's up, Junior? J. Anthony Brown.
Whatever.
Yeah. Tommy!
Hey, what's up, baby?
Yeah, see, Tommy wasn't there. So can I explain to you all?
Please.
You know, Jay and Junior went to their first daytime Emmys on Sunday night.
Okay, yeah, a couple of
And, days. You know, the talk show was up, so they're part of it. They would get an Emmy sent to them and everything. So the talk show was up. I was up for four Emmys Sunday. I was up for Best Game Show, Best Game Show Host, Best Talk Show, and Best Talk Show Host. Back to back, they announced Best Game Show and Best Game Show Host back to back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I lost both of those. Junior went into a dark. Darkness.
He went to the sunken place.
He texts me, this some BS.
But that's crazy because I've never seen Junior depressed, ever.
No.
In all the years I've known him, ever.
No. Got thrown into something.
Hey, everybody.
None of that.
None of that.
He went into... One flew over the cuckoo's nest. Yeah. Jay had to grab
So
me.
Then,
Junior.
A little later on, it came down to Best Talk Show.
Okay, here we go.
Best Game Show they gave to Price is Right, and Best Game Show Host they gave to Wayne Brady.
Okay.
But
son of a...
But what was Wayne Brady's speech was...
Wayne said, I'm about to leave. Because I'm hungry.
Uh-huh.
I was just waiting on Steve Harvey to come get his award so I could go eat. That was his speech.
So he knew Steve had it.
Everybody. Yeah. Everybody knew.
Because everybody loves Family Feud, yeah.
So now, we'd have lost the Best Game Show host. Then the reason Junior had on the tux came up.
Looking
ladies
good.
And gentlemen, best informative talk show.
Ooh,
oh,
yes.
My God.
Yes, this is it. This is it. Uh-huh.
And the winner is the Dr. Oz Show. Now, that ruined Junior and Jay's day.
The hell?
I'm talking about, man, my crew was hurt.
Oh, I got to chop it, Jay. Wait a minute.
Yes,
I'm sitting in the lobby, right?
Wait, we might have to hold it, Jay. Yeah,
coming back for 30-something funny. Why Junior and Jay are not doing well today. We'll be right back.
Doctor who?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it's time for something funny, guys. Congratulations.
That's already happening.
Yeah, so they've been trying to hold it in. Uh-huh. Yesterday they did a little bit better, but today the depression has set in full.
Oh, you know, see what happened to me in the lobby?
What happened?
Steve, everybody.
The lobby of the daytime.
The lobby of the daytime. I'm sitting in the lobby. Uh-huh. We lost. We're not going to win. I'm like, nothing happened. This lady comes out with a big box. Now, I didn't know the Emmys are in the box. You get a big box. So I said, hey, how you doing? I said, what's in that box? She said, the Emmy. I said, can I look at it? She said, yeah. I said, whose is this? She said, Dr. Oz, if you don't get your
off my face.
If you don't get your
Well, y'all did get nominated. That's still big.
Yeah, I think that's big.
I mean, there
first time out the box, that's great.
You know, the show. Yeah. Won for best talk show host.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's good. And we feel we had a part in that. So that's
right,
cool.
That's what I was gonna say. Congratulations again, Steve, on your daytime Harvey. Emmy for best informative talk show host. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I just tell you this though?
What?
Black folk really don't need to go to war shows.
No, we don't do well.
That's why I don't go.
Yeah, that's why I don't go.
I'm telling you right now. And my family asked me not to go.
Yeah, that last time.
That's why my daughter Lori went for me.
She was beautiful, too.
She went for me and accepted because at the end I won best talk show host. Mm-hmm. So my daughter Lori went up. Now, I told her what to say. She ain't used
none of that.
Cause your kids don't do what you tell them.
They never do.
So I told her to just tell the truth. That me and my mom decided Dad can't go to no more award shows. Cause when he don't win, he don't know how to look. And that's why she went. And that's really, my wife said, you're not gonna go down there, Steve, and have that look on your face when you don't win. I said, baby, let's just go see. She said, we ain't got to see.
You already know
you ain't going to know how to look if you don't win.
Yeah, you cannot play it.
You can't make yourself look a different way.
There's no way.
There's no way.
Like all that extra clapping for the winner, I didn't have none.
You weren't happy for Dr.
Oh, hell no, hell no, 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 no.
You know, like that little applaud and clap
because
they won? No, I didn't give Wayne nothing.
No. Oh, you got to give Wayne some
love. I didn't clap for Wayne.
No, not at all.
I didn't.
You can't fix your face.
It's hard. I love Wayne.
Yeah, the great talent.
You know, but I just couldn't do it at that time. I couldn't be happy for him at the time.
Because you're in a good mood. You're sitting there. Yo, this is it. This is the one.
No. The real problem is y'all dressed up and went.
Yeah, that's one reason.
And the other reason is you really wanted that Emmy sitting in your house.
Yeah. That's another reason. But let me tell you, you know how black folks is, Shirley. They get you with the reception. Free wine, and it's really nice atmosphere. It's red carpets everywhere, lights and camera. You walk down and you feel good. And you get all of that. Now, they ain't had an L on in there. They didn't have to have an L. It was hot in there, but you didn't mind, though, because you in there, you had the Emmys. But the minute I lost, I started talking about the Emmys up there. This hot-ass award show. I don't even know why they brought me down and had me put on these damn clothes, come down here. And why is the bar closed? If I'm going to be losing, I at least should have a drink in my hand. Who is this old lady right here coming towards me?
Let me tell you what made me feel good.
What
really made me feel good. Mm-hmm. On the way out, they had a whole table. Juniors, they had a whole table of little iPhone earbuds things, right? Mm-hmm. They had them in little gold bags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it said, take one. Mm-hmm. I took 16 of them.
Yeah, we got Emmy. I took four.
Oh, Junior, you were so excited, too. I've never seen you that excited.
Steve, can I read you the text messages? Junior was texting me at the award show. So he texted me. He was like, he told me about the Wayne speech, and then I said, wow. Then he said, the price is right, just one outstanding game show. Did some bull. And I said, seriously, I bet you're ready to go. I'm going to the bar. Hell yeah, put on all these damn clothes. Then he said, I bet I won't be back.
Bet you, I can't go back down there.
Yeah, I hate that, Junior, because you were like super excited. Yeah, you were. You knew you had your clothes laid out and everything. Got a haircut, nails done, all of that. Yeah.
Man, let me tell you something. First of all, I've never been to anything like this, and this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Especially just coming.
First time out the box.
Out the box,
man.
Man, that's pretty cool. But then when you don't win, when they said Dr. R. cussing immediately came out my mouth. And I didn't care. The little Spanish lady behind me, she's like, she patted me on the back. Don't touch me.
you didn't want her to console you?
They was up for the Spanish categories. I don't know who she was. She said, it's okay. I said, hey, you don't get off of me.
You just turned on
but
everyone.
You know what? And I don't know. Cheryl Underwood hosts with Mario.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lopez.
They did a good job. Our girl Cheryl did a good job.
Yeah, she was very, very good.
For her.
Yeah. So, Steve, any advice to give Junior and Jay?
Nah, just quit going down now, Craig. Now, they're going to do it to you in your face. And it be in your face. It ain't behind your back. The thing about the award shows, they give it to you in your face.
Yeah, they do.
And let me tell you, and you're lucky you ain't up for the award personally because a camera be in your face.
Now, let me tell you this, too. And all that speaking to me after the award show, with your
face.
Emmy in your hand, that's not real.
You were hating?
You can't help it.
You want to win.
Hate.
You really want to win.
Wow. Y'all hit the after party?
The after party.
I went up to the door, grabbed the handle, then let it go, and I said, I need to leave. Because if I go in here, I know what's going to happen.
I didn't want to be around people having fun.
Yeah. Right. People in there who ain't up for nothing.
Yeah. And they have the Emmys out at the parties. I didn't need to see that, so I left.
Actually need a loser party. That way you be around other people you're comfortable with.
No.
All right, listen, coming up next, Nephew Tommy's Run That Prank Back. Right after this.
See if these pranks lose.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, guys, entertainment news. But first, it's the Nephew with Run That Prank Back. What you got, Nev?
F-P-C. F.
I'm going to admit.
Yeah. That's what I said last night.
FPC.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach a Darwin.
This is he.
Hey, Darwin, how you doing? This is Frank with FPC. We're trying to come down and see about making an appointment with you within the next week, if that's possible.
Appointment for what, there?
We're supposed to come by. I'm with FPC. We wanted to, we have
FPC,
you on file.
What is that? What is FPC?
Sir, your name was left with us, and you're on our file to actually come out and make an appointment with you so we can get your picture taken.
You must have the wrong number. I'm not signed up to take no picture or anything, sir.
Okay, well, you're Darwin, right?
Yes, I am Darwin, and you call Darwin, and that's who you call it, but anything about a picture, what's up with a picture?
We've got you on our schedule here, FPC. We have you on our schedule for us to come out to your home and take your picture.
Okay, FPC, which company is that? What type of picture would I be taking? I'm not taking no picture, but what is FPC?
Okay, you don't know anything about a photo being taken of you? Needing to be taken?
No.
Okay. Sir, FPC is, this is a funeral picture company.
Who?
Funeral picture company. And what we do is we come out and take your picture, and we actually keep it on file. That way, when you do pass away, we have your picture for your program, and we have a nice picture for you.
Oh, man, look, I'm not dead right now. You're not taking no picture of me. Who is this again?
My name is Frank. Frank.
Oh, okay, Frank, you mean to tell me y'all taking pictures of people before they die just so you could have their picture on file?
one on file, and then you have a good picture on your program, and that's what we do.
I ain't signed up for nothing like that. Who the hell signed me up for some like that?
I'm not quite sure, but we're trying to schedule where we can come out beginning of next week so we can get your picture taken.
Next week, week after, you get a picture when I'm dead. You're not taking no picture of me before I die. That don't sound right.
Sir, don't you want to have a good picture on your program?
Sir, you're not taking no picture of me for no funeral arrangements that I'm not dead yet. I don't understand that. What the hell is this about? Nobody. Who signed me up for it then? Tell me that much.
Sir, I don't have the actual person listed here on who signed you up, but I do have the number, and you are Mr. Darwin, so...
I didn't sign up for it, and I'm not taking no picture. You guys run around taking pictures of people before they die just to have a good picture on file? That sounds like some man. I ain't never heard of no like that, sir.
Okay, sir, we have your address here. Are you available?
I'm not available at all to take no picture for a funeral. That I'm not even dead yet. I don't get that. That sounds like a bunch of and who the hell gave you my number? That's what I want
to
know.
Sir, I'm not quite sure, but one thing we have to do is we have to follow through with our job. So what we're going to have to do is I have to come out there and take a picture.
I don't want to
create a problem, but I have to get a picture of you by next week.
Oh, it's going to be a problem because you're not getting no picture of me for no funeral arrangement.
Mr. Darwin, I have to come by your house at least by Friday at around 12 noon. I'll come by and get a picture.
Friday? You ain't coming by my goddamn house no Friday. You the lie. I'll be come over here to try to get my picture. I got plenty of goddamn pictures in my house to put on the funeral program. I'm not taking no picture. That means I'm claiming to be dead. I'm not dead. That's some old bad luck got dead. I don't know who the you work for, Frank, but you got that.
I work for FPC, sir. I work for FPC.
FCC, my ass. You ain't not taking no picture of me. Don't come over here Friday talking about no goddamn pistol.
Okay,
you better
put
in your goddamn pistol, and I hope they got your goddamn picture on file. But that's a stupid goddamn company you work for. I ain't never heard of nobody taking no picture before they die. I got millions of pictures in here for that program. And when I'm gone, what the f*** I care about what a picture look like or who had my goddamn funeral? This will make me you tell whoever the f*** you work for, they need to go find another goddamn occupation. That don't make no goddamn sense. You're not coming over here Friday, buddy. You come over here if you want to.
Okay, Mr. Darwin.
Yes.
Are you familiar with Glenda?
That's my wife. What the f*** you about to say now?
All I want to do is say this, man. I just want to say Glenda the one that got me to prank phone call you. This is Nephew Tommy, baby, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show, huh?
I'll be a boy. Oh, boy, y'all done lost your head. I ain't never heard of no business like this. Some FPC funeral picture taking. Boy, man, I said my New Year's resolution, I was going to cut back on drinking, but you got me over here about to tip a bottle right now. Boy, nephew, you crazy. Oh, you crazy, man. Hey, come over here today about 4 and get a picture of Glenda. You come take a picture. Y'all got me, baby. You got me,
baby.
Oh, man, I ain't never heard of no company like that.
Hey, your wife put me up to it, man. I tell you what, you tune in tomorrow morning, man. You're going to catch yourself on national radio.
Hey, Dad, I'm going to tell everybody. Boy, they had me hot over here. I'm going to, don't tell Glenda, but I'm going to have me a drink anyway. I was looking for an excuse to drink. That right there, a funeral picture taken to put on fire. Boy, y'all done lost a half a mind y'all had with that and that, buddy.
Hey, man, I got to ask you something, man. Darwin, tell me this here, man. What's the baddest, and I mean the baddest, radio show in the land?
Steve Harvey Morning Wake Up Show, buddy.
FPC, baby. Yes. Get to step right up and get this funeral picture, man. Let's get it.
Ooh, when you get beat up. Oh, my God. That
right
is
now,
be
I'm
a
in the
day.
I'm in the pranking business, Jay. It's part
you're the
of
king
Jay.
Of it. You're the king of the prank,
man.
So thank you, Neff. Yeah.
Of the prank.
All right.
Gonna get beat up.
Get his ass whooped.
I wanna be there.
I wanna see it for myself.
when they whoop his behind.
Tommy, gonna get a whoop.
Tommy, where the next show at so we can go see this?
It was
I
close.
I ain't get my butt with nowhere. This nobody one jumping was
close,
on me,
though. This one was close, Tommy.
No. Yeah.
See, Tommy, what's going to happen is you're going to do a prank on somebody and go to the city within the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And they're going to be there waiting on
you. And they're going to be at that, and they're going to be up in there. That's how it's going to happen. Because it's going to line up, because one of them pranks going to line up with one of these tour dates. What, matter of fact, where you going next?
If you have to know, I'm Steve. I'm in Charleston Mother's Day weekend. That's where I am.
Okay.
And you think I'm going to get jumped on in Charleston? That's what you
well,
think?
Somebody yeah. from
well,
another
well,
place.
Well, let's just finish it up. You where Mother's Day weekend in Charleston?
Charleston Performing Arts Center in Charleston, South Carolina. Okay. That's May 12th, Saturday night.
Yeah,
no
so we're getting close.
Just comedy. Right. Say again, sir?
Yeah, well, I'm getting say we're getting close. We're 12 days out.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, guys, in entertainment news, it seems like our president has fired up another remark about Colin Kaepernick. Right
what?
After this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, in entertainment news, this is according to TMZ now. President Trump says Colin Kaepernick would have been a lot better off if he would have just honored the American flag and stood up for the national anthem. Trump didn't mention Kaepernick by name during his rally in Michigan on Friday, but it's obvious he was talking about Kaepernick, who remains unemployed. Take a listen.
We have pride in our history and respect for our great American flag. We defend our flag, and we honor our flag. And if others honored our flag, they'd be a lot better off, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they be a lot better off? We put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and we do that proudly. And we stand for the national anthem.
Oh, my goodness. For the millionth time, that's not why he took a knee.
He's not okay. hearing that.
Yeah.
He's not going to ever hear that.
Okay. Could I hear it again?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Could I hear it again?
Mm-hmm. Letting it cue up.
We have pride in our history and respect for our great American flag. We defend our flag and we honor our flag. And if others honored our flag, they'd be a lot better off, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they be a lot better off? We put our hands on our hearts for the Pledge of Allegiance, and we do that proudly. And we stand for the national anthem.
Okay, there you go.
He didn't say his name, Doctor. He didn't say his name.
No, well, he was talking about it. But you know who he meant. Yeah.
Well, but, you know... All right, I can't say anything.
I think it has to do with them, with the president thinking that black, especially black people, are not patriots at all.
Listen to me.
We're not. That's what they think.
I got news for you.
Yeah.
Standing for the national anthem does not make you patriotic.
At all.
No.
If you love the country so much, pay your taxes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Help out.
Yeah.
You know. Obey the laws of the land.
Quit trying to flip it.
Most presidents have shown their tax form. Mm-hmm. All of them.
And you don't even have to legally.
But it's to show you that we're above board, that we're participating right. in the system that was created to make this country great.
Absolutely, Steve.
Now, you know, I'm telling you, man, it's a crazy thing right here. But he says stuff just to get applause.
Mm-hmm,
he knows his audience.
Talking
we
to
stand for our flag.
Yeah.
We put our hands over our hearts. And we honor our flag. That don't make you patriotic. That's some symbolic gesture. That's all that is.
Yep. Yep.
That's all that is. If you want to honor the country, how about this? How about let's making the laws equal for everybody?
Mm.
How about how about that constitutional part that everybody has the inalienable right to the pursuit of happiness? So if you're black and you're driving, you should be able to drive without getting shot.
Yeah.
Hey, you can participate with the police without getting choked to death.
Yeah.
Hey, you can use your cell phone. You can be in your grandmama's backyard and not have to die.
Yeah.
You can get pulled over and tell a police officer you got a gun without him shooting you. That would be real American to us.
Yeah. Let's go to Miss Ann, Steve. Very good. Very good.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. And well said, Steve. President Trump says he wants his upcoming meeting with North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un to take place in the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, because he says if the meet turns out the way he hopes that it turns out, that would be really, really great. By the way, word is that the South and North Koreans think that that is a good idea.
There's something that I like about it because you're there. You're actually there, where if things work out, there's a great celebration to be had on the site.
As far as Kim Jong wouldn't have to fly there, he could drive there, you know, and so they think it's a good idea. By the way, the president and vice president are scheduled to address the National Rifle Association's annual meeting in Texas this Friday. This is going to be the fourth year in a row that Trump has spoken before the gun owners group, the NRA, one of the president's most strongest and loyal supporters. In fact, according to reports, the organization spent over $30 million to help put the man in the White House more than any other outside group. At recent rallies, the president's been warning his base that if Democrats win in November, they're going to take away their guns. Some 200 asylum seekers are camped out on the Mexico side of San Diego, California. There's a border there, even though they've been denied a chance to see an immigration lawyer thus far. The migrants are mostly from Central America. They've been told that the U.S. cannot take any more asylum applications. However, advocates for migrants call that excuse a farce. City fathers in Detroit finally in control of the municipality's finances again. The state of Michigan returned control to city officials yesterday after Detroit's leaders turned in 3 years of balanced budgets. Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor is scheduled to get shoulder replacement surgery later on this morning. The 63-year-old Bronx-born justice reportedly injured her shoulder badly in a fall at her home recently. Doctors say she's going to need several months of physical therapy. A group of prominent African-American women, including TV writer and executive Shonda Rhimes and director Ava DuVernay, urging the music industry to sever ties with singer R. Kelly. The group say they are the Women of Color Committee of the Time's Up movement. They released a letter demanding that several prominent companies within the music industry get away from the R&B singer. They mean his record label, RCA Records. They say the streaming services, Spotify and Apple Music, also Ticketmaster. R. Kelly, you know, has been dogged by allegations of sexual misconduct for close to two decades. In 2002, R. Kelly was indicted on 21 counts of child porn, but was acquitted. Last year, though, Kelly was said to be holding several young women against their wills. He denies all accusations. Finally, today is May 1st. That's May Day, which means it's International Workers' Day. Hey, ladies. Throw your hands up on it. Okay, we'll be back with more entertainment, today's trending topics, 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, yesterday on the Ellen DeGeneres Show, Kim Kardashian was her special guest, and she shared her feelings about her sister Khloe's baby daddy boyfriend, Tristan Thompson. Take a listen.
Poor Khloe. I think everybody was heartbroken for her. I mean, literally days before she gives birth, her boyfriend is seen on video cheating, and so you have opinions about that?
Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Besides, it's just so up.
That's real right there, boy. Love that.
You have anything to say about that, Steve?
Yeah, I enjoy people that cuss. it's freeing for me.
Oh, you would have preferred it without the bleep, I'm sure.
Oh, hell yeah. Let them have it. Hey, look. We got to stop this here. Censorship, but we want freedom of speech. Hold on. Let me ask you something.
Uh-huh.
The Ku Klux Klan can get a permit to walk down the street and tell us how much they hate us, but we can't say get the F out of here?
Yeah.
You know how funny this radio show would be?
If we could cuss.
Man. And it's already funny.
But Lord, man.
Right, Carla.
Boy, y'all let them fly.
Boy, boy, that people would be.
They'd be tuning.
What's funny is because I know you, Steve, and I know sometimes you even want to cuss on Lil Big Shots with the kids.
That's the only show that I have never used any, not damn or nothing.
Even when the camera's down, there's no cussing.
Oh, well, yeah, when I'm glad. Go backstage.
Oh, backstage.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh, backstage.
When you're talking to the audience, no cursing.
Oh, no, not on commercial breaks and that, because it's kids all
right,
in the crowd.
Right, because it's kids.
Yeah, I'm very, very respectful of that. Other people,
and
the way you
so
raise
cute
your
kids. And Sunday night, funny. Steve.
Huh?
Lil Big Shots was so good with Sheila E. on there this past Sunday night and the little drum.
Did you see your boy playing the drum?
Yeah, yes, man. I did.
Because he was in a funk, man, and you brought him out.
Well, you brought him right on out that funk, man.
No, you're talking about Sheila E. When I played the drums with the little girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Y'all talking about the little boy.
The little boy, yeah.
No, I was on stage with a set of drums, letting them have it. Steve Harvey, you know, because I could, man, if my mom and them had money, I'd have probably been a musician.
Instruments and stuff.
How many instruments can you play?
Coming up in about 10
playing
minutes.
Little flute, xylophone, piano, and drums.
Wow. Coming up in about 10 minutes at 34 after the hour. You're so talented, Steve.
No, I'm not.
Comedy Roulette.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, it's time for Comedy Roulette. Jay, take it away.
He hates the explaining part.
I do.
And why do you explain, Jay?
Because
we have new listeners.
Yes.
They have no idea what we're doing.
Every day we got new listeners.
Every day we have new listeners.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
All come on, Jay.
You take five subjects, put them on the wheel, spun the wheel. That's what Shirley hates. Spun it hard. I mean, spun it around.
No, I hate you.
And then where it stopped, we do the damn thing.
All
do
right,
it, Shirley.
Here we go. Number one. Forget that. I'm still mad about it.
Uh-huh.
Number two. In the shop, my behind sounds like repo to me. Number three, but have you seen the baby's daddy, though?
God, though.
What? Number four, that's why can't nobody stand you now?
All these.
Number five, I know I'm going to be on punishment. But what the heck?
that's what the hell.
Bennett.
Oh, what? No, that is what the hell. Say it.
Bennett.
What the heck?
You can't get on punishment from what the heck.
Hey, what? Number five. I know I'm going to be on punishment, but what the heck?
Let me tell you what's about to happen.
Say what now? What is it?
I know I'm going to be on punishment, but what the hell?
Come on.
Number five. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
I know I'm going to be on punishment, but I'm eating that last piece of chicken that's waiting for daddy. I'm eating it.
Oh,
I don't give a damn. He hungry, and I'm hungry now. He ain't going to be here till 6. I'm hungry right now. All right, do what you got to do,
because
I'm eating that.
Okay, I'll tell you, I know I'm going to be on punishment.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to do this anyway. What the hell?
Uh-huh.
I'm knocking my cousin out. I'm tired of taking my toys, and I can't get my toy back.
I'm
finna whoop his ass right here in my room. I don't even care. Yeah, I'll be on punishment, but I'm knocking him the hell out.
All right, Tommy.
Come on, I got one. I know I'm going to be on punishment. But I'm sneaking this girl in my mama room no matter what. I'm going to go and do it. I'm
going
to do it.
What? Boy, that's the best man in the house. What are you talking about? Man, it's going
everybody
down in my mama bed.
Boy?
Yeah.
I know I'm going to be on punishment because them street lights done came on, but Brenda's still sitting on her steps. I'm down here with Brenda. Damn it, beat my ass. Whatever, Brenda's still on her steps. I'm down here showing out.
I'm not going home.
I'm down here
Brenda
showing out.
Not right now.
Hell no. Standing out here, I'm talking about third story.
Yeah. Let me tell you how this is going to go down. I know I'm going to be on punishment, But them new shoes cost me $20. My mama purse wide open. I'm getting that damn 20.
I'm going in there.
I'm going in there.
Yo, mama?
I'm getting it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I know I'm going to be on punishment. But when we get to grandmama house, I'm telling her how you beat me. Don't tell her. I need some justice.
I'm telling everything.
This was justice. Way too long and too abusive to beat me like this. Wait till we pull up in the garage. Wait till we pull up. I can't wait.
Grandma.
I got
grandma.
One for you. I know I'm going to be on punishment, but come 11:30 tonight when my mom and daddy go to bed, I'm back in this Cadillac out the driveway. I'm going to see Regina Pringle. Do you hear me, boy?
That's close.
That's close.
Uh-huh. I know I'm going to be on punishment because I'm supposed to have this car home by midnight, but we still kissing.
Y'all still kissing?
We still kissing. Hell in hell, I'm going to be there. Because we still kissing.
We still all hugged up. I'm touching stuff I ain't never touched.
You don't even understand. We kissing so hard right now.
What time the car phone is at?
Midnight?
Yeah.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. Subject, my fiancé won't give me his password. Tommy, I know this letter is tailor-made for you, right?
And up not next, gonna get it.
I know. Up next, it is the king of pranks, Nephew Tommy, with today's prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Is that your husband?
Who are you
is
talking
that your
to?
Husband?
His wife?
Who are you talking to?
You know he's talking to his
I'm wife. Talking to his wife. Why, yeah. wouldn't I, why wouldn't I ask her that?
Is that a good question?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is that your husband?
Run it.
Watch this.
Hello?
Hello, I'm trying to reach Karen.
This is Karen.
Karen, hey, listen, my name is Mark. Are you married to Jason?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I got the right person. Listen, I don't even know how to say this to you. My name is Mark. I follow my wife today.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm at a park, and I'm almost certain that my wife is right now. I'm about 200 or 300 yards away, but I'm almost certain my wife is holding hands with your husband, Jason. So
okay, hold on. When you see my husband at the park with your wife, how long have you been following them?
I followed my wife this morning because I just was feeling like real weird about, you know, something going on. And I followed her, and I'm at the park right now. And, you know, I think she's with Jason. I think she's with your husband.
What type of car do you see Jason in?
A Lexus.
What color is it?
White.
Okay, that's him. So he's supposed to have went to work today. And this Sunday, and they had some overtime that he's supposed to be doing at work today, and he's at a park with your wife. Are you close to them?
I'm not close to him. I tried to stay back. Wait. Hold up. She just kissed him.
She just kissed who?
My wife just kissed your husband.
What'd you say your wife's name is again?
My wife's name is Veronica.
Veronica. Okay, what park they at?
They at Langley Park. I'm at Langley Park right now. I'm about 200 yards away from them, and I'm looking at. She just kissed him again. I cannot believe this, man.
I know well. You're not telling me that your wife is kissing my f-ing husband. How did you get my number? That's all up. Back this up. How did you get my number? And who are you?
Like I say, my name is Mark. A buddy of mine named Fitzgerald. Fitz knows. He knows Jason.
I don't know Fitzgerald. I don't want to know how you get my number.
Fitz gave me your Fitz told me he knew Jason and some kind of way got me your phone number. I don't even know who he got your number from. All I know is your husband is kissing my wife right now. That's what I know.
Okay, you just sitting there watching. Give me the number. We can change this right now. You sitting there watching on some Spectre Gadget I'll go and bust all this up, because I don't play that. Because he said he had to work this morning, some of the overtime don't have time. Then who does that in the park with some body? It's too cold to be in the park anyway. You can't feed no ducks. Give me the address of this Langley Park.
Okay, wait a minute, They getting a blanket out the car.
Now, who does that? I know well, he ain't no romantic type of guy. He never take me to no park, but
they getting a blanket out the car and going deeper into the park. I cannot believe this. They getting the blanket. Well, what? I know she. Now I'm looking at.
Give me the park address.
They got wine and wine glasses.
Mark. Give me the address of the park. You on some white boy stalk? I'm trying to go. I'll bust that up. I don't have time for that calling me all startled and watching your wife. I'm not gonna watch it. I'm gonna hand him his ass. Okay, let's stop this right now. Take your over there to the park and give him the phone. I don't have time for this. You sitting up there watching your wife with my. You calling me? What kind of you?
Say what?
You supposed to be up there getting on that. Because if I was there, I'd be the slap that. And I've been handing him his cap. Go hand him the phone. Take up there and hand him the phone. What the hell are you calling me for?
I'm trying to see what else they gonna do. That's what I'm trying to do.
You done seen enough. All that porn that be over there doing, putting out a guy. What you want? Wait to see him. Take your ass over to hand him the phone. I know Jason ain't in no park for no. I'm got my at home. I am on our third child pregnant with a baby. But I don't give a. I'll go up there and whoop his while I'm pregnant. I know well Jason ain't in no park for no. Don't hand him the phone. You
look, I want to see. Let me step out the truck. Hold on. They drinking wine right now.
I don't give a about that. Go hand him the phone. Walk over there and hand him the phone. I don't know what you do with yours. I don't play about mine.
Oh, man, they just...
Mark, I don't know who you are, but go hand him the phone. Go hand him the phone. You sitting up there watching with your weak. Who in the are you anyway?
That's my wife he with. He with my wife.
You must be old, because if you was one of them big old yoked up black one of them got on this. Who does that? You sitting up there watching them at the park. I'm telling you now, I'm whooping that when I see her. I'm whooping your wife. Then I'm whooping Jason. And I'm going to slap your calling me with this. You sitting up there calling me, got my blood pressure scar high while you sitting up there watching my husband your wife. You supposed to be all on top of that. Okay. Yeah, when I see you got that coming too, but I'm going to find this Langley Park right now. I'm supposed to get off the phone because I'll be up there. I'm going to show you how.
Hold on. Somebody want to talk to you.
Give him the phone.
Hello,
who is this?
This Tommy.
Tommy who?
This nephew Tommy. From the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your husband Jason got me to prank phone call you.
This is some. You almost made me have my baby up in this house this morning. And I got two more months to go.
Your husband Jason got me to prank phone call you.
He's no better than that. I'm whooping anyway when he come on.
He told me, he said, look, man, my wife is a no-nonsense. She don't take no drama, none of that.
That don't make no sense because I was like, what man sit there and watch their wife at the park? What man does that? This is crazy. But you tell him, I got him. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I got to ask you this, baby. One more thing. What is the baddest radio show in the land?
The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
What y'all think?
Man. I love her.
Man.
He was not having it,
Paul. No, over there.
In the words right. of Bruce Benton, any day now.
You want I some Inspector Gadget?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. No, over there. What are you doing?
Over there. Yeah.
Get your detective on. Come on.
All right, thank you, nephew Tommy, King of Pranks. All right, switching gears. Listen, guys, if you're a Whitney Houston fan, and who isn't, I ask, go to steveharveyfm.com, and there's a new emotional trailer tease for Whitney's highly anticipated new self-titled documentary, Whitney. It hits theaters July 6th. This documentary has the support of Pat Houston and the Whitney Houston Estate. The movie will feature vintage Whitney footage and offer glimpses of her struggle with fame. Whitney is set to premiere at the Cannes Film Festival next month and will hit theaters July 6th. Yes.
Gotta see.
Shirley. Stop, Shirley.
Will always
and stuff.
Oh, Lord.
Colors and stop, Shirley.
She always does.
Hey, Shirley, let me ask you this, though.
Love you.
Stop, Shirley.
Okay,
I turn my
headphones
down. And the
words
is damn it, stop, Shirley.
on this clip, will we see her having dinner with Mariah Carey?
Why you ask that? Oh, because of Mariah Carey. Probably
you remember
Mariah
said that she was waiting on
last week, yeah.
Whitney, Prince, and who
Michael.
Else to come
Michael
to
Jackson. Them? Michael Jackson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, listen. Coming up next, today's Strawberry Letter subject: my fiance won't give me his password.
And he not.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Right now it is time for the Strawberry Letter, and today's letter is brought to you by 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers.com wants you to honor your mom this Mother's Day by sharing how she wows you with everything she does. We want to hear your hashtag moms who wow story. Visit 1-800-Flowers.com/when to enter and get rules, okay? Ready,
sounds
Tommy?
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Buckle up. Hold on tight. Here it is, a Strawberry Letter.
Subject: my fiance won't give me his password. Dear Steve and Shirley, my fiance and I have been together for 4 years. When we were dating, I would sneak and go through his phone to see his text messages and call logs. He didn't have a password on his phone at the time. One day, I went through his phone and I found exactly what I was looking for. I saw that my man had been texting his child's mom for a month, and the texts to her were sexually explicit. She had sent him multiple pictures of herself, and they called each other baby on the messages. Without saying anything to him, because I knew he would lie, I contacted his child's mom, and she confirmed that they were seeing each other again, but had not had sex yet. I broke up with my boyfriend immediately. A month later, after all of his apologies and sweet gifts, he asked me to marry him. Everything is going great now, except for one thing. My fiancé has recently put a password on his phone. I have asked him for his password numerous times, but he won't give it to me. I have also tried to figure out the password, but with no luck. I know I'm wrong for snooping, but I need that password. He told me to just let it go and trust him. I don't want to marry a cheater. Please advise. Okay, you're not ready. I mean, really, you're already having trust issues with this man. Before you've even walked down the aisle, you do not trust him. That's why you're snooping. That's why you're upset that he got a password on his phone. So how do you think this marriage is going to work? I mean, you'll be constantly thinking about him and his baby mama. What are they doing? Are they sleeping together? And please believe me, they are, okay? No matter what she said, they're sleeping together. He's got
no,
a password.
Not.
Anyway.
No, they're not. She would have told him.
You think the woman would have told it?
Oh, she would have told him.
She said yet, though. All right. You would be asking, you know, has she sent any more pictures, et cetera, et cetera. You just, the trust issues are too great right now. So your choices are marry him and always be wondering, you know, and worried, not having peace, or not marry him and wait until, you know, you can rebuild, or in this case, I think, build some trust in your relationship. Him apologizing and giving you sweet gifts, they're great, but his behavior needs to change. Action should go with those apologies and those gifts. He should have done that before he proposed. Steve?
Well, Shirley, you're reading this letter from the standpoint of a woman who has been hurt.
Okay.
And I understand.
Okay.
You are reading this letter in an advisory capacity, one woman to another, as her girlfriend.
Guilty as charged.
I'm going to read this letter as somebody totally disconnected from the dude and her. And I'm just going to read the letter. And I'm going to ask questions all the way through the letter. You ready?
Ready.
Subject: my fiance won't give me his password. My question is, you still want to be his fiance? That's the question.
Okay.
My fiance won't give me his password. My question to you is, do you still want to be his fiance? If you want to be his fiance, quit asking for that damn password.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go. Dear Steve and Shirley, my fiance have been together for 4 years. When we were dating, I would sneak and go through his phone to see his text messages and call log. Here's the question. Why did you do that?
Right.
Old people say if you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it.
She said she mm-hmm. what she was looking
every
for.
Time.
Now, mm-hmm. he didn't have a password on his phone at the time. One day, I went through his phone and found exactly what I was looking for. You was looking for trouble. Mm-hmm. You found it. Now, it's going to be a problem. Yeah. I saw that my man had been texting his child's mom for a month, and the text to her was sexually explicit.
Ooh-ooh.
She had sent him several pictures of herself, and they called each other baby on the message without saying anything to him because I knew he would lie. I contacted his child's mom. She confirmed that they were seeing each other again but had not had sex yet. Mm-hmm. I broke up with my boyfriend immediately. Okay, now, you went in there looking for what you wanted to find. You found exactly what you thought you'd find. Now, you call the girl. She confirmed that they had been talking but had not had sex yet. You immediately went and broke up with your boyfriend. Okay, cool. Why are we back at this letter? Why are we back? Why is it more to this letter?
Because he proposed.
Now, I'm going to tell you why. Because a month later, after all his apologies and sweet gifts, he asked me to marry him. But didn't you say yes?
Sure did.
Did not you say yes? That's why you all have become fiancé. Because you said yes. After all you knew and all you found and all you heard, he asked you to marry him with some sweet gifts and apologies, and you said yes. Well, everything is going great now. Okay. This her letter.
Yeah.
Well, everything is going great now except for one thing. My fiance has recently put a password on his phone.
Rightfully so.
What did you expect him to do? How the hell? What? You know why he put the password on the phone? Because everything is going great now. Why would he allow it to not to continue to go great? You already snoops. You already go through phones looking for stuff. So now he done put a password on his phone. And you know why he put that password on his phone? Because everything going great now. Everything was going good before till your ass got into that phone and started calling people.
Tommy, shut up.
See, you started calling people. You didn't ask him because what you say, you knew he would lie.
He would lie.
So what you did, you called her. She confirmed what you had already been thinking.
Okay, hold it right there,
Steve.
We come
back, I finished the letter. Mm-hmm. This is all this easy. Yeah.
We'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's go with your part two of your response to today's Strawberry Letters. Subject, my fiance won't give me his password.
My fiance won't give me his password. The question I have for you is, do you still won't be his fiance? If you do, you got to quit asking for this password. Because the last time you went through his phone, you said you found what you was looking for. He was talking to his child baby mama. Him and the baby mama been exchanging pictures, calling each other baby.
Baby?
And they've been talking sexually explicit, but the woman, you called her because you knew he was going to lie. Ain't nobody going to sit up and talk about, yeah, I'm calling her. That's a lie anybody will gladly tell. So she said you hadn't had sex, so you broke up immediately with her. Now, after a bunch of sweet gifts and some apologies and talking nice, he asked you to marry him. You said yes. That's how y'all fiance. Everything is going great now, except for one thing. My fiance has recently put a password on the phone. Like I said before the break, the reason he put the password on the phone is because everything is going great. And your nose ass ain't gonna leave it at that. Now, I have asked him for his password numerous times, but he won't give it to me. Why would he give you this password so you start calling people again? Now you all down on his job. Was Larry at work Friday? See, you see. Once you call one person, your fiance got to figure you could call anyway. Who is Bishop Anita? Bishop Anita is in the soul saving business,
right?
And you should leave it at that.
Yeah, he's a cheater. Yeah.
So now, I have tried to figure out the password, but with no luck. You got a lot of time.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you why you're not going to figure this password out. Because once our password is complicated, once we've been busted. Ain't no more birthdays.
No.
Oh, that ain't. You ain't finna get the birthday one. you ain't finna get Social Security, but last four.
Nope.
You know, you ain't finna get, you know, our number changed. When I was out there playing, every day my password changed. Whatever the lottery number was the night before, that was my password.
And you do not have voicemail. Forget that.
Matter of fact, my password is so complicated. I use the VIN number on my damn car.
That's funny. Come on, Steve.
Boy. Now, damn near 27 numbers. You got that's damn near had a registration in your hand to get in my phone when I was out there working.
Come on, man.
My damn password has actually been the key to the vault at Fort Knox.
Come on, man.
Yeah, that's how it was right here.
Quit high-fiving him, Tommy.
Come on, baby. Password has actually been the birthday of the folk chicks I was dating.
Dang.
Come on here, boy.
What?
That's how hard I covered.
Come on. Give me some more.
My password was actually been my Social Security number minus the Einstein equation times Newton's law of gravity.
E equals MC squared.
MC squared, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you had to know something.
Oh, man.
Wow.
That's how you do it.
My last password I had, 2005, was the middle of, you know that three-sided ruler you had in school?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
The middle 32 digits on that ruler was
the retractor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I had a password one time that was the circumference of the third watermelon on the first row at the produce section down at Kroger.
Come on, boy.
That's how hard. So you're not going to guess his password. Now, then she says, I know I'm wrong for snooping, but I need that password. No, you don't. Shirley told you right. You need to be in a loving, trusting relationship. But you're not. Mm-hmm. See, you need that password for what? Because you know what you're going to find in there? Same thing you found before.
Pictures. Uh-huh. Let him have them pictures.
Whoa. Tommy, what you said?
I know.
I said pictures.
Oh,
boy.
No, it sounded like you said that, but I know you did.
I said what?
Why would he say that?
Why would he say it? Because that's how he talk. Oh, man, why would he say it? Because that sound natural.
I thought it was.
No.
He told me to just let it go and trust him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to marry a cheater. Mm-hmm. Please advise. Yeah. Listen to me. Mm-hmm. He's telling you right.
Yeah.
Let it go and trust him. And then what you think going to happen? When you trust him and let it go, what do you think going to happen? Mm-hmm. Tell me. I'm listening. Mm-hmm. You know, see, listen to me. Or you could just say, hey, look, by next Friday, or this Friday.
Okay, this Friday.
This Friday, give me your phone. That'll give him 3-4 days to clean that phone.
What?
Yeah, I got to take your phone look down
like that. Tommy vehemently disagrees listen, with listen. You.
Oh, you might get a phone look just, like that. You might get that.
But I'm just telling you, what he need to do is he need to take this phone down to Apple. You need to go to Google. Yeah. And you need to meet with iCloud people and just
get
see
everything out of
hot
it.
Boy, you need this thing wiped.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we're going to discuss things that have a cutoff age. Okay?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You know, being a mom is like 1,000 little jobs all wrapped into one amazing responsibility. Somehow, moms do it all. This Mother's Day, show her how much you appreciate her with 1-800-Flowers.com. Right now, 1-800-Flowers will give you an exclusive 36 for 36 offer. 36 sorbet roses for just $36.
That right there is a pretty impressive mix of pastel shades. These roses are guaranteed to make us smile. Guaranteed when they get there, they're going to be fresh, man. Order yours today, 1-800-Flowers.com.
That's right. Order 36 sorbet roses for only $36. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click that radio icon and enter code STRAWBERRY. Hurry, because this offer ends Friday. Coming up at the top of the hour, Carla's reality update is coming. But first, Steve and the guys in the show were talking about this the other day. When they come home from work, Sometimes they just don't want to talk right away. Damn. They want to talk.
Ain't got
to
be work.
But not right away. So Steve and I know, Steve and Jay did a reenactment when the husband comes home from work from a long day at the office and the wife wants to talk. And I want to point out that Jay plays the wife in this segment. Take a
I'm
listen.
I'm glad somebody else the lady.
Take a listen.
Listen.
You've been at work all
damn day. Basically, you don't want to talk.
Just want peace, quiet. That's
you
all.
Just
want
to come in and not talk to nobody.
Well, why
who
you
don't understand that?
Every man.
How come you don't want to talk?
See what I'm saying? Here's how it go.
What's wrong with talking?
Here's how it go. You just walked in the house.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your day today?
I'm tired. I'm beat up, man. It was rough out there today.
What was so rough about it?
Jay's playing
you
the
know,
woman.
I won't go into it or nothing. It was just a long day, baby. You know how I get sometimes. I just gonna sit down and chill, get my thoughts, a minute to myself.
Well, what happened?
It was just a long day, you know, just long.
Long like how? Like,
well, I've been down there all day. I just been there all day. If I've been there all day working, I got two jobs. Mm-hmm. I just got home. It's just a long day. I'm just tired. That's all, baby.
Well, what happened on the first job? Just tell me that.
See, that's too much. Ain't nothing in particular happened. You know, it just was.
So you were there all day, and you're telling me nothing happened in particular.
No, nothing meaningful happened.
So something did happen.
No, baby, listen. Listen. What I'm saying is,
careful.
It was just a long day. It was just just the day to day got in the way, and I was just tired of it.
So something happened that you don't want to tell me about?
No, ain't nothing happened in it that I ain't want to tell you about. I'm just trying to tell you ain't nothing really happened, but just was the.
Well, why are you raising your voice?
I'm tired.
Well, you don't. You sound like you're yelling. I mean, you.
All right, listen to me, baby. Listen to me.
Bring it back down.
Look, I ain't trying. Look, I'm not yelling. If I did, I
okay,
apologize.
Okay, then. Forget the first job.
I tell you what, listen.
What happened on the second job?
Look. I'm tired. I didn't have a good day. I'm just going to go on in here. I'm watch a little TV and eat. I'm going to go.
So you don't want to talk today? Is that basically what you're saying? You don't want to talk to me?
Well, I've been talking all day.
So I ain't seen you all day, and you come home, and now I want to talk. You don't want to talk to me. Is that basically what you're saying? You've been talking to them other people all day.
But I was at work though. I'm off.
Oh,
now. I just
you can only
chill.
Talk at work. Oh, okay.
Well, I just want to chill.
Oh, okay.
No, baby, look,
you
I just want to chill.
Talk at work at the house is no talking.
Well,
oh, okay.
No, I just want to chill.
I see how it go.
No, I just want to chill for a little while.
Don't you have a talk show? You have two shows where you just talk. Then you come home and just no talking. That's how it goes?
Well, I got a radio show, too. I do the radio show, then I do two talk shows. And, I got a briefing, and I do meeting.
You talking to meeting?
Y'all talking in a meeting.
You talk on the show?
Yeah.
You talk on a radio show?
Yeah.
But you can't talk home.
Bring it down. Well, I'm tired of talking.
Oh, you loud. Just,
bring it back down.
Okay,
bring
now you're getting loud. I see how it goes. You're getting loud now, yeah.
Well, you ain't listening.
I'm listening. I'm trying to talk.
No, you ain't hearing me. My voice raising because you're not listening.
You know what? Forget it. Just forget it. Just forget the whole thing. Forget I asked. Mm-hmm. Forget it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Nah, I don't want to talk no more.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go on in here and say
ever,
that.
Ever.
I'm going to go in here and say that.
I'm not talking to you no more. You don't have to worry about me talking to you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, when you come in from now on, I will not be talking to you.
There you go.
Okay. There you go. All right. Okay.
See how you like that. Okay. If you don't want to talk, then I don't want to talk.
No, that's baby, right. Look.
No. I tried to talk, but you didn't want to talk.
Okay.
Now you want to talk.
Okay, well, look.
Now we're talking now?
Okay, listen.
Now we can talk? No,
clap it up.
Baby,
clap it up.
Baby, I'm going to go on in here and just sit down and chill.
Because you can't talk to me.
All right, babe. Just look. Just whatever you say.
I just need to know, are we talking or are we not talking?
I was going to hit you. Said you won't talk to me no more.
Okay, then forget it. We don't have to talk.
Okay.
Let's stop talking. All right. You don't talk to me and I won't talk to you.
All right. Uh-huh.
All right. That's good. That works fine for me.
Uh-oh. Ever talk to you again.
Now, he walks away under his breath.
Mm-mm.
He thinks and he says.
Yeah.
He being the husband.
Her ass is crazy.
And then she follows him in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And she says, yes. I just have one question. Yes. I just have one more question.
Come on, Jay.
To ask you.
You better be a woman.
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Yes. What did I do?
Yeah, what did I do? Uh-huh. Because I didn't do anything to you.
No, you ain't did nothing. I just told you I had a long day. Now, you said you ain't want to talk. I said I'm going here to chill. Now, you to follow me in here and ask me again.
All right, well, forget it. Forget it, then. No. One more thing. I got one more thing to ask you.
Man, Columbo.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, okay, so one more time, mm-hmm. under my breath, and I don't think she can hear this. So mm-hmm. I said to myself, this heifer crazy.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard you. I'm crazy?
Here she comes.
Now I'm crazy.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm crazy.
Yeah. No, baby, I wasn't talking to you.
People's job ain't crazy, but I'm crazy.
No, baby, I ain't say you was crazy. Say you was crazy.
I'm crazy. Now I'm crazy.
No, well, I said.
I'm going to show you crazy, Steve.
No.
I'm going to show you crazy.
No, what I said was.
I'm going to show it to you.
No, I ain't say you was crazy. I
said
this crazy.
I'm crazy now. I'm going to show it to you.
No, I said this crazy.
No, you want to see it? I'm going to show it to you.
What I'm looking at.
Wait, what?
He's already looking at
you. You want to show me crazy? I'm looking dead at
man. Every man who's with his wife or girlfriend, laugh when you get at work, okay?
Wait till she get out the car.
Oh, my God. That's it right there.
Nah. Hit us up on social media at Steve Harvey FM if you want to join us, if you feel the same way. Let us know how you feel. Steve Harvey FM, okay? Coming up at the top of the hour, Carla's reality update. She's going to talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta reunion, part 3.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
The city of Seattle recently filed a motion to repeal over 500 marijuana possession convictions over the past 30 years. As we know, misdemeanor convictions for weed over the past few decades have negatively impacted the Black community. The city's attorney, Pete Holmes, quoted an ACLU report that revealed that African Americans are more than 3 times more likely to be arrested for pot possession than whites, despite the fact that Blacks and whites use at the same rates. Holmes went on to say, as we see marijuana sold in retail storefronts today, people who simply had a joint in their pocket a decade ago still have a red mark on their records. It's long past time we remedy the drug policies of yesteryear, and this is one small step to right the injustices of a drug war that has primarily targeted people of color. I'm hopeful the court will choose to clear these charges. He acknowledged that while the policy shift can reverse the damage, it's a step forward in helping Seattle residents, including immigrants and refugees, have a clean slate. A municipal
Pookie Johnson, you're free to go.
A municipal judge is currently reviewing the convictions that have limited offenders from landing jobs and housing opportunities. That's good news.
That's great news.
Yeah,
they were giving
really
people
is.
Some serious time for joints or small yeah. amounts of marijuana.
Yeah. Boogie Johnson, you're free to go.
Thank you.
Come on out of
Thank
there.
You.
Yeah, that's real
I mean,
good
real
news.
Serious mm-hmm. time. 15
yeah.
years,
Other cities
20
need
years.
To follow yeah. lead.
Absolutely, yeah. they do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whew. Steve, I these marijuana stories, I know you kind of get quiet on them. And
I've been trying to get him to buy me.
I don't really know a lot about it.
Right. We don't ever want you to. We don't ever want you.
Two old white guys going into where marijuana store. Because I pass three of them on the way to work every day.
Okay.
It's three of them on Ventura.
What you need to know about marijuana?
Yeah, I know. But I just saw two old dudes going there the other day. They look, yeah.
Yeah.
We finna come out of here right.
It's so good the way you can go in there now. It's just so free. So
they say that place is making money, man.
Hey, man, when Cheech and Chong was on my talk show,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
you know, they Up in Smoke is on Blu-ray and all this mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. They both have brands of marijuana.
Kathy Bates mm-hmm. has one, too.
That they sell. And he bought me some and gave it to me on the show.
Where is
and
it?
And you open it up, and there's five sticks in it. And it's rolled perfectly. It's got a little tip
Where
on it and everything.
The hell
oh,
is
cute.
It?
Yeah, I told him, I said, my man. I said, I told Tommy Chong, I said, I've never smoked weed. He said, what?
Like you've been wasting your time.
Yeah,
so,
I said, no.
Like
I said,
he was insulted.
He couldn't believe it. I said, no, uh-huh, man, I've just never smoked weed before. He said, man, you should try it.
Again, I asked
I said,
you,
no.
Where is it?
Jay, I would never, ever give you anything. That would alter your ignorant ass mind.
It's for That's his diabetes.
Already huh? defective.
What'd you say, Tommy?
It's for his diabetes.
It's for it's diabetes.
Oh. I know when Jay been smoking, though, because he'll come in there eating Snickers, what? Reese's Buttercups, Butterfingers. He eat candy like it ain't nothing.
Junior, you
but
can't
he
say
a diabetic.
But he's a diabetic.
he
Wait
can't
a minute.
Got the munchies.
Wait, Junior.
What you mean Wait. We can't say it? We just said it. Jay been smoking weed. What, this ain't nothing new.
I didn't know we was going to emphasize.
Jay
smoked
weed
before,
legal.
It was legal?
I just said I know what Jay been smoking.
Weed. What the hell you think the jokes is about?
He's trying to get yours that Tommy Chong watch brought you.
I want it. I want to have it. Wow. Did you throw it away?
You still asking about Cheech
yeah.
Chong. Where is it?
Yeah, what'd you do with it? I didn't win it. I didn't win an Emmy, and you gonna do me like that?
Now that should be a
you
cutoff age.
Me.
Yeah, smoking weed.
There's
really?
No cutoff age. I mean, Willie Nelson smokes.
Oh, that's true.
Way
we
older
know.
Than
we
me.
Know. Yeah, we know.
He
yeah.
smoked so
yeah.
much, he yeah. forgot to send in his tax.
mm-hmm. Yeah, Willie Nelson.
Snoop?
I thought I sent that in.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Snoop.
Yeah, Snoop, Snoop.
Speaking of Snoop, have you seen the billboard for his new show, The Joker's Wild?
Yes.
It says, where even the stakes are high or something. That's
I mean, it's a
keyword high.
Yeah.
Keyword high. Yeah.
I'm like, wow. Okay, yeah.
But that's my bucket list, though.
What?
Smoke with Snoop.
That's on a lot of people's yeah. list, Jay.
Smoke with Snoop.
You're not going okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
What, Junior?
You need a deeper bucket.
Yeah, I'm saying. That could easily happen.
You can make that happen.
That little shallow-ass bucket yeah. you got.
That's just one of the things.
Right? Yeah, but he lived next door to you. Just go next door.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That ain't
What's
deep.
What's the delay on that?
Just put it on things to do this weekend and not on
right.
the bucket. Smoke with Snoop.
Did you tell him that, Jay, when you saw him, when he was on the show?
Yeah, I told him. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did tell him.
Well, what did he say?
And what did he say, Jay?
He didn't say nothing. Oh, yeah, we can do that. Make that happen, homie. We're going to come on in the back. We're going to go sit in the rain. She wanted to do it.
But I was at work, so I couldn't do anything. Man.
Oh, yeah, of course not. Yeah. Not at work.
No.
Not on the premises.
Wasn't about to yeah. get there. But I was, well, he was down there. All I had
think
to do
you know
was
a person.
Yeah. Yeah.
I learned so much.
He can tell us a lot about himself, don't he?
Yeah, man.
But is that what makes you funny, or you're just funny anyway?
That helped.
Oh, I have a question. Okay. This is a relatable question. This is about drinking.
All right.
For $1 million, could you drink a fifth of Hennessy?
Who is that for anyone?
Yeah.
Yes. Can you do, yes. Yes. I
Shirley,
think.
What?
I. Man. You said $1 million.
Yeah.
Shirley.
I would Shirley, I'd just be drunk.
A fifth?
Oh, okay.
Shirley, you can't.
It's gonna knock
I can't
me out.
Drink at all, whoa, 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 but.
Oh, you're going to be out.
Shirley, you can't. Shirley, you can't drink a glass of wine.
I'm like, really
your ass is really crazy. Eyes be shutting. Tommy.
One margarita, she out.
Yeah, Tommy.
I can't drink.
I don't know. That's a lot of. But for a million, I'm going to get it down. For a million, I'm going to get it down.
That's like this.
We had to go
right?
to Tommy. See, I had to go to somebody that I know.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
So, Steve, your recent article from the Hollywood Reporter is trending as celebrities say the darndest things. Surprise. Steve, do you remember what you said about the booing rules to this white woman sitting in the front row at Showtime at the Apollo?
I promise.
Okay, let me read it to you. You said, I had this lady on the front row who was white, and I was saying, ma'am, you didn't boo. She said, I can't. That's so rude to boo. I looked at her, and the dude in her row stood up and said, that's what the bleep we do.
That's what the F we do. No, that's what he said. He said, that's what the F we do.
So the next act, she was standing up, booing, pointing them off the stage, the whole nine.
Oh, yeah. So she stood happened? Up, man. The next act, mm-hmm. she got into it. She booed a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and she understood, this is what we do.
Uh-huh.
And so the next act that came out there and wasn't good, I looked down there. She was standing up, booing on the front row. I'm talking about turning red and just pointing them off the stage, you know, just waving her fingers.
Right.
Get off the stage. You
oh, she
suck.
Got it.
Oh, no. She got into it.
It takes them one act
it
to get into
no
it.
Yeah.
But one act, and well, they into it. Right?
Yeah.
It's tight when it first yeah, came
but
in.
But at first she was acting a little timid. Yeah.
It take a half a show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
okay.
the first booing, it throws them into
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
Because the ferocity of it. Is that a word, Shirley?
Veracity. Ferocity?
Ferociousness.
Yeah,
yeah you mean like, ferociousness.
No, I wanted to say ferocity.
Or velocity.
Like ferociousness with volume.
Okay, well, say that.
You know,
that
like
then.
Velocity, speed.
Oh, the
yeah.
vulgarity.
Yeah.
You know, no, I don't do vulgarity. I don't like that word.
The vulgarity of, no.
No, ferocity.
He just cusses.
It's ferociousness with speed.
Okay.
Right.
Got yeah, it.
Did he just make a word?
Yeah,
no, I just did. Yeah. Dog, do you need the word? Like I was sitting up on the talk show the other day on a commercial break, no, over Family Feud over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I told the label, I said, I really found out libel wasn't a word.
I'm libel.
Yeah. She said, what?
It's not?
No, the black lady in the order was, Steve, that's not a word. I said, mm-hmm. libel is a word, babe. Mm-hmm. No, it's liable. Like you're responsible for
right.
something.
I'm
I said,
liable.
No. They ain't responsible. You're responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, no, liable is when you're responsible for something. You're being held liable.
Right.
I said, no, liable means you responsible for what's about to happen. Because if you keep talking, I liable to bust you upside your
wow.
head. See, now that's your damn fault.
Yeah.
See, liable happens if you continue to do something to me. It's what I liable to do to you. That's how you do it. That lady was so confused. She looked at me and said, That's really not a word.
No.
Boy, that lady was so confused. Oh, them man. People was in there laughing so damn
it
hard.
Is a word.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
You can make up words. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I've been for years.
Like, how do we get high? We got high, didn't we? Ain't that a word?
High.
Yeah.
Just high.
High.
H-I?
That came from somewhere.
H-I?
Somebody made that up. It wasn't him.
Yeah. High.
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 I kind of know where it came from, but that's a whole other show.
Hi.
They were trying to say how you doing, but the only thing that came out was.
Okay, I got a question for yes. the diabetic.
Your name is diabetic.
That'd be you, Jay.
keep it sweet, Shirley.
What happens when you get the munchies?
When you eat. What do you mean?
Yeah, Shirley, what?
We'll be back with more of the Steve Harvey Morning Show right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, here we go, Steve. You have a funny story you want to tell us?
Yeah, last night, well, early this morning, I'm watching Get Up, which is a sports show with Jalen Rose. What's the dude's
Mike
name?
Greenberg.
Mike Greenberg from
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike.
Yeah, and Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark and that lady. It's a lady over there,
I don't know her name. I didn't see her.
They had this big thing talking about the NBA fashionistas, the NBA fashions. And they were talking, and they showed a picture of James Harden coming to the game with a silk short set on. And it was gold, like an old gold and an old silver. And they had shorts, and they were short shorts. There was a short set. And they said, wow, look at this trend-setting gentleman here walking. Have you guys seen that? Boy, that dude on First Take, my dude Ricky Bryan, he said, no, I ain't finna let y'all do that. That ain't nothing new. All my uncles wear short sets to all the barbecues and all of the family reunions. Hold up, Uncle Ricky. I got you. I ain't gonna let y'all do this to Uncle Ricky. Uncle Ricky been wearing that for years. All my uncles wear that with a shame.
Still wear it.
And then Jalen Rose said, yeah, and you got to wear them with street, hard bottom street shoes.
Yeah. Closed in sandals. Definitely.
Oh, man. Dog, you can't. I said, man, that dude had me laughing so hard. He said, no, I ain't finna let y'all sit in here talking about some James Harden is starting a new fashion trend. No, this been out.
And still out.
My uncles wear this. And I thought a man, creme de la silk and all that, man, you know.
Man.
No, shout set.
Two-piece short set.
Shout set with a straw hat.
And matching hat.
Dog, get out of here with some
matching
dress shoes. Man, please, y'all
and
stop.
And thick and thin socks.
Thick and thin.
What are thick and thin socks?
Thick and thins with the pinstripes on them, boy.
Oh.
It'd be thick and then thin and then thick and then thin.
They call them thick and
Stacey
thin.
Stacey Adams made the coldest ones.
The coldest ones.
Yeah. But now the elastic come out in them quick.
Thick and thin.
That's when you had to get
men's
rubber bands.
Hosiery.
Used to wear them.
That's why they get the rubber bands.
Yeah, you get rubber bands. I had rubber bands on at a party one time. I had rubber bands at the party. I was about 18, 19. Mm-hmm. Went to this club down in Columbus. They put rubber bands on my socks. Had them on all night. Put them on at 7 because I was going to eat something first. Then went out there and went and we shot some pool. Then we went to the club. So I was up on my feet a long time. I got home, man, about 4:30 in the morning, man.
Yeah. What?
Man, the rubber bands had cut into my legs so deep that I couldn't see them. My socks had entered into my leg. I couldn't even see the damn rubber band. It didn't look like I had on smooth socks.
You were so crazy.
Until I dug my fingers in and I discovered, man, these rubber bands that dug into the knee.
Wow.
So I couldn't roll them down because I couldn't get them out. So I just took a butter knife under there and popped it. And let me tell you something, man. Woo! Then you got to dig and itch them because they scratch because your blood got to go back in there. Lord have mercy, man. Dog, my feet was 2 times their regular size because no blood was leaving them. Whatever went down there couldn't pump back up the leg. My feet look like clown shoes.
All right, Steve. We got to go.
They was pulsing.
Your toe is blue, right?
We'll be back with the last break of the day.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last break of the day, Steve. Bless us with your closing remarks.
Bless us.
Yeah. Enlighten us.
Yeah, that's heavy. Bless us is really heavy.
A blessing. Your
yeah, I know,
remarks.
But I think of that. That puts me in
motivates.
A different space.
Okay.
So I think of what I'm going to do is talk to you about something that can help really move your life forward. You know, oftentimes, you know, man, we get stumped because we find ourselves in a dark place much longer than we want to be there. And some of these dark places that we find ourselves in is because we don't have the right attitude to get out. I'm going to tell you something that can help you move your life forward. That could possibly be holding you back without you even realizing. It is the act of forgiveness. Just the simple act of forgiveness. You know, I had Bishop Jakes on my show one time, and we were talking about how forgiveness slows people up. Because when you don't forgive, you have to harbor all of these feelings. When you don't forgive, you have to harbor the memory of something. When you don't forgive, you harbor all of the ways it made you feel, which keeps you in a low state. Instead of getting to the mountaintop, you stay in this valley the whole time. And it's a tough place to be. You can rid yourself of that low place in life with the act of forgiveness. A lot of us can't move forward because we're allowing something somebody did to us hold us back. You know, I just can't get past the way he treated me. I just can't get past the way my father left me. I cannot get past the way that my mama was. I just cannot get past the way of how my friends treated me. I thought this was my best friend. I cannot believe how they did me, man. That's unthinkable. I just can't get past it. Well, if you say you won't get past it, I got news for you. You're not. And if you don't get past it, you can't move forward. See, Bishop Jakes taught me this. Forgiveness is not for the other person. Forgiveness is actually for you. See, you do a person like, I tell you what, every time they see me, I bet I ain't gonna forgive them. No, what actually happens is every time you see them, you relive the moment. Every time you see them, you drum up those old feelings. Every time you see them, you throw yourself into something. The person that you're not forgiving usually don't even know that you haven't forgiven them, and they done moved on with their life. They skipping. But because you have never forgave them or never brought it to their attention, so you think that it'll create closure for you, it won't. It won't. The fact that you won't forgive a person does nothing to them, but it does so much damage to you. It's like a cancer in your body that festers and grows. And over the years, if you don't forgive a person, it stays with you. And it causes so many ill feelings in you. And next thing you know, you can't move on with the next relationship because you're still living in the other relationship. You can't move on to the next business deal because you so wiped out how they did you in that last business deal. You can't find yourself progressing with your friends, your new friends, because you can't move past what your old friend did to you. How many times, if you really think about it, has the act of non-forgiving held you back? Probably more times than you think. Yeah, I did it to myself. It was a guy, man, that ran a club for me in Dallas. Well, he took some money from me. And at the time, it was $33,000. Now, back then, man, that was all I had. I came from a gig, and the money in the account, they said, well, it's gone, Mr. Harvey. You have some people signing, and they removed the money. I said, okay, maybe I'd do something with it. I called him. He wouldn't answer the phone. I went by his office, and his office was cleared out. And I went, damn. And I came from a comedy gig. And I came back to my club, and all of a sudden, it was gone. And, man, that was it. I said, hold up. This dude took my money. I looked for him everywhere. Every time I heard, man, I had people looking for him. Hey, man, he up here getting a haircut. I get in my car, 40 minutes away, drive to the barbershop. Oh, he left, man. I go to a club. Hey, man, your boy just went out the back door. I run out the back door. I see his taillights pulling through the gate. I looked for him for years and for years and for years, man. I looked for this dude, man, for 7 years. And then something happened. My mama passed. And he sent the biggest flower arrangement to my mama's funeral. Because my mama taught him Sunday school. And I was sitting there and I read the card and it was from him. But at that moment, I didn't have time to hate him because my mama was gone. And at that moment, I realized what was really important to me. And he was so unimportant to me at that time. And so at that day, I forgave him that day. Now, since then, had he stayed my manager, he would be making right now 10% of everything I've earned. Do you have any idea what that check would be? But for $33,000, and I just forgave it. I was able to move on with my life. If I had allowed that to hold me there, I could be stuck right back at that 33. But because I was willing to let it go, God has opened up the windows of heaven and poured out a blessings. I ain't even got his blessings chasing me down. I am telling you, you've got to let it go.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.